chapter 8, which you'll find in the Pew Bible on page 1101. And I'm beginning at verse 26, and I'm reading the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, Queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And then we have our second reading, and this comes from Colossians chapter 4, and it's verses 2 to 6. Mark, could you just turn me down a little bit? Thanks. That's page 1184 in your Pew Bibles. "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's just pray. The last verse of the first hymn, "Let all creation join in one to bless the sacred name of him that sits upon the throne and to adore the Lamb." And Lord, we come to you today and we just want to praise you and bless you. Thank you that you're such a terrific God. Thank you for the wonderful message of the gospel. And as we look at these two passages, we pray that you'll enlighten our hearts and our minds, that you'll switch us off from indifference to passion for you. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Just want to start with a story. I was writing a book in, it must have been in the summer of 1981, and I was in my office in the Ashmolean, and everything was just flowing. The paragraphs were flowing, the words were flowing, the sentences were flowing, my mind was just racing with the book. And I went next door to get a cup of coffee because my office was conveniently situated next to the little kitchenette. And a colleague was there who I'd talked to about Jesus in the past. And he said to me, words to the effect, can we talk more about Jesus? And I said, could we leave it for another time? I'm just in the middle of writing this book, and I'm all focused in on it. Sadly, the another time never came. That was the opportunity, and I'd missed it. The Colossians text is the third, hold on, just get this working. The focuses the third in our series of sermons and home group sessions on evangelism. And we've read it this morning, or Charles very kindly read it to us, and so we've heard it, but the key words for today are be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. And as I reflected on that moment, which I'd missed, I reflected that if I'd been wise, I'd have taken that opportunity and the book should have waited. Actually, being wise is an interesting point because you can be wise in different ways. You can be wise in the way we can be wise in the way we engage with people. We can be wise in what we say to people, but we can also be wise in the way we lead our lives. And I was very struck again at work. I was talking to another colleague about Christian things, and the colleague said that he didn't want to know any more about Jesus because he had a Christian friend in Banbury where he lived who broke the speed limit regularly. I wonder how many of us are guilty of the same and how many people we've put off simply by our own way of style of living. Well, there's an important principle here, which I now want to explore, or I want you to explore. Always try to start from where people are coming from. Because if we're going to ever bring other people to Jesus, we have to know where they are, what their background is, how we can meet them at their point of need with the good news of the gospel. And one of the things we have to be good at is at asking and at listening. We have to be good at asking them questions about themselves, and good at listening to what they say in reply. Now, I would like you to do an exercise very quickly. I'd like you to sort of mark yourselves off in pairs and ask each other what your favorite hobby or hobbies are. And I'd like the answer to include some details so that the person actually has to listen to what you say. All right, so would you mind doing that? This may be embarrassing or awkward, but please don't worry about that.
Thank you.
Right. Have you both managed to share something? All right. Okay. Second part of this is turn to someone else and tell them what the person you've just been talking to's favourite hobbies are in the detail they provided for you. That may mean moving places or finding someone else. Okay, so hands up those who found that exercise really difficult. Hands up those who found it really easy. Very good. Lots in between. Okay, well, one of the surprising things I find in life is how few people actually ask me a question when I'm at a dinner party, a supper party, or whatever it may be. And Jennifer and I often come back in the evening after going out to something and say, did anyone ask you anything? And the usual answer is no. We've spent the evening asking other people questions. But that's a great Christian virtue, so cultivate it and cultivate what you hear to memorize and keep it, because that's the way we're going to meet people where they are. Now, these... first lesson was Acts 28:26-40, and I just want to look at this as to how to approach people, because it's extremely instructive. And the first thing is that Philip was led to the Ethiopian by an angel and the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And if you look at that chapter, you see that in verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, etc. And then, just a bit further on, verse 29, the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So the first point here is be led by the promptings of the Spirit. And then, as you read on, you find that Philip asked a key question to find out where the Ethiopian was coming from, as it were, spiritually. Do you understand what you're reading? Very simple. This man's reading a bit out of Isaiah. He's probably reading aloud, because people who are not very literate often read aloud, and people in the past read aloud because it was easier. So Philip would have heard what he's reading and says, do you understand what you're reading? And that opens up everything. He asks the right question, and so he gets invited into the chariot. And he uses the opportunity to share the good news, because, of course, it's an ideal scenario with the Ethiopian actually reading from Isaiah a passage about Jesus the Messiah. And then Philip leads the Ethiopian to faith. The Ethiopian actually says, what's to stop me being baptized? And Philip says, nothing, let's do it right here. So they do. A wonderful, straightforward story which we can all learn from and be encouraged by. Now, of course, we may have had the opportunity of talking to people about Jesus, and sometimes that opportunity doesn't come when we expect it. Perhaps we've introduced the subject and it's not been accepted, and then we hope and pray that some other opportunity will come. Maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe even years later, it may happen. And one of the openings into people's lives is when there's a crisis. Then you can get alongside them in a way which, when everything's running smoothly, you may not be able to. But at that moment, if you've dropped in the hints of the past, they will recall your interest and ask for your help. And that gives a chance to share your faith. Many will not take up the message, and we have to be quite wise about this, because, for example, I've in one way or another talked about my faith to a lot of my work colleagues. Only one actually has responded to that. And I can think of a neighbour we had, a coal merchant who lived in next to us, to our house, and he on a number of occasions had been healed by Fred Smith, who used to be up at the Frilford, and he had a Christian healing ministry. And when a coal merchant carries huge quantities of coal, his back tends to go, and this is what had happened to our neighbour. Fred Smith had prayed for him, and he'd been healed a number of times, but this neighbour never showed any interest in Jesus. Fascinating. So those are some of the problems, but the possibilities are enormous, because we are each in a unique scenario with a unique set of contacts. Among them will be one or two people who are looking for meaning in life. They may be wanting hope because they're desperate. And they may be wanting peace because they're deeply unpeaceful. They may be wanting love because they've never been loved. But those are the people we need to find and to help with the gospel. And when I look back, supper parties with guest speakers have really been very helpful there. We held a number when we first came to Marcham, and if you warn guests that there's going to be a speaker who's going to talk about something to do with their Christian faith, they can always say no, they don't want to come. But that's how some people came to faith, and that's how, for example, Janie Cumber came to faith. So there are ways of reaching people, but those contacts that we have are unique to us. People in our family, people in our colleagues at work, if we are at work, people who are neighbours, people who are acquaintances, associates, whatever. And in a work context, just to give you an example of the one colleague who did come to faith, French girl who was working for me, and we had to go to Chatsworth up in Derbyshire together, and I think we spent most of the car journey talking about Jesus. And that brought her to faith. But there'd been contact with her before, she was part of our department, and so I'd got to know, and she got to know me. Now, in the first sermon in this series, Richard talked about the importance of prayer. And we can't underestimate the importance of prayer in our desire to share the gospel. We need to pray for those who we want to meet Jesus, the friends, the contacts, the colleagues. We need to pray that the Lord will lead us to those who are looking for meaning in life. We don't want to waste our time on people who are frankly completely uninterested and never will be. We need the Lord to lead us to those who are looking for something. We need to pray that we'll know what questions to ask them so that we get the question right, just like Philip to the Ethiopian. If he'd bungled that question, he wouldn't have been invited into the chariot. And we need to pray that we'll know how to answer their questions. So there's a lot of praying to be done if we're going to be serious about telling people about Jesus. But I want to go back to the Acts passage, because what's striking to me is that the Spirit is at work in an extraordinary way in this story, and that that's what we actually need to focus our lives on, reading what the Spirit is telling us. And the first thing is, of course, it's obvious, isn't it? The story starts with an angel in verse 26. Well, how many of us have met an angel? Probably very few. But be prepared, you never know. And it's the Spirit who tells Philip what to do, to get alongside. It's the Spirit who has inspired the scriptures the Ethiopian is reading. That's amazing, isn't it, that he's already there and obviously was working in the Ethiopian's life because he wanted to know. He wanted to know what this story was about, which he couldn't really understand. And then the Spirit led the Ethiopian to accept Jesus, sent him on his way rejoicing. Isn't that lovely? He's been touched by the Spirit and he's found it's all bubbling up. And then the Spirit takes Philip away to do other evangelism elsewhere. So the Spirit is what we need to pray for above everything, that we may be open to the Spirit, looking for his leading and following his leading. Then he'll lead us to the people who want to know about Jesus. And I just want to end with another story, the story of the Thai Bible. Eric and Sheila were going out to Thailand to visit Eric's brother Jack, and he was working in a refugee camp in Thailand. And my Jennifer felt passionately that she needed to send out a Thai Bible. How would you get a Thai Bible? Well, we didn't know, but we rang up the Bible Society, which happened to be at Swindon, and they had one. Unfortunately, Sheila and Eric were going the next day, so how could we get it? And I think next day was a Saturday. Well, in those days, there was something called Red Star. You could put a parcel on a train, and it would be on the next train, and you could collect it at the other end. So the Bible Society, without any payment, agreed to the Bible being transferred by Red Star to Oxford Station, where we went and got it. And we then got it to Sheila and Eric in time for them to take it. When they got to Thailand, they found that the refugee camp was full of people who didn't speak Thai. So it looked as though it was in the wrong language. There were Cambodians and others. But the maid in due course picked it up, and despite it being in High Thai, which is equivalent of the King James Version in English, I gather, the maid read it and became a Christian. So, hunches, the leading of the Spirit, are so important. And if nothing else from this sermon hits you, please be hit by that. If you have a hunch to talk to somebody about Jesus or to bring in a conversation that could lead there, follow it. You never know where it may lead. And I want to encourage us to actually take the Holy Spirit more seriously in our lives. He's the dynamic who will take us to the right people who need to hear about Jesus. He's the dynamic who will give us the words we need to say. He's the dynamic, the only dynamic, who can bring people into the kingdom. So I'm going to suggest that if you'd like more of the Holy Spirit and more chance of spreading the word of Jesus to other people, you might like to stand up and let's pray, because that's the only way it's going to happen. Would you like to? If you don't want to, that's absolutely fine. Just remain seated. Holy Spirit, we long to have more of you in our lives. We long to be directed to those who are seeking Jesus. We long to be so full of you that our witness brings them into the kingdom. So come now, Holy Spirit, fill us and refill us with your presence and your power. And we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Please sit down.